This is an ABC podcast.
And this is Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina, and I don't have the new sting in my jukebox, so I'm saying it out loud. Can you be the birds? Can you be tweeting birds? Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina. I think we can get Asha to cut something in and fix that up later.
Why, she can just use that.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
That was art.
Speaking of birds, improv. Actually, bit of sad news. June Butcher passed away. She was such a legend Kenyana? In conservation. Yeah, she actually founded Kenyana Foundation. Very sad to hear that. And on the bright side, though, it's Johnny Frog's birthday today.
Jay Frog, happy birthday, sir.
He's mucking around in the ocean, which is his favourite thing.
Is he listening to you out there?
No, I'd say he's underneath the water by now. So, now we've got an overcast day today.
You're taking me on a wild ride.
Yeah.
Death and birthdays.
Let's go. You know what you should do is you should take your cameras out today because the light is much lower. Great to film stuff in the garden. If you want to sneak up on a spider and take a picture of it. If you want to get your macro lens out and find the spines on the caterpillars that are eating your food, off you go. Great time to do that today.
Everyone's got a macro lens.
They do if they have a smartphone.
Portrait. Really?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yeah.
A macro lens.
Well, it works as good. No, it doesn't work in portrait mode. You have to just zoom in.
Oh, it's a zoom. Okay.
But the problem with that is you have to have very steady hand, so you have to put it on a little stand.
Okay.
That's a trick.
It sounds like you do this. 1-300-221-025 is your number to speak to Madame Garden.
Madame Gardener.
The High Priestess of the Western Australian Garden. In fact, Australian, you have been nationwide. She's a treasure.
Yeah, but that people listen to us all around Australia.
Hey, listen to this from Connor. I love this. I love the spooky sound of wind through a she-oak. It is a huge nostalgic boost and takes me back to our extended family summer holidays in Port Gregory. But I rent. Am I bonkers to hope there is any way to grow a she-oak in a pot? Do dwarf she-oaks exist, says Connor.
Connor, you can grow she-oaks in a pot very successfully and you could keep it in that pot, even a fully grown one. You could keep it in a pot for at least 6 to 8 years.
Wow.
Even 10 years. She-oaks are quite slow growing. Get it. And you can get smaller ones. But put one in a pot and listen to that sound of the... If you've ever been in a she-oak forest at night time, though, when it's windy...
A bit spooky?
It's a bit spooky. The sound is beautiful. The whistling. But sometimes you think, oh, I hope there's some bog witches about to protect me.
Actually, let's reprogram ourselves to think that is actually bog witches out there having a bit of a...
Where are I?
Fly around. We are.
We are. There's many a bog witch out there. Yeah. We should put the shout out to bog witches who protect people in forests if they're scared. Nothing to be scared of, really, apart from wolves.
Yeah.
Don't know how I'd go up against a wolf.
But, you know, bog witches are pretty fast, aren't they?
They fly well.
Roz is in Chidlow. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Roz.
What's your question for Sabrina?
I have a question about my Cape Myrtle. It's in Chidlow, and so the soil is very deficient. You know, it's like pea gravel stuff. And so it's been in for 3 years, I think. But what happens is it flowers, and it looks beautiful, and we have lots of leaf. And then it'll flower and it'll leave those little nuts on the end.
Yeah.
And then just stop flowering. But I noticed that everyone else's, you know, I've got a bit of FOMO, everyone else's is still flowering.
Well, for it to get the nuts, it had to have flowered because that's the seed pod.
Yeah.
There's so many different varieties of crepe myrtles, Roz, and some of them flower, you know, at different times. And some are more profuse than others. If I was a crepe myrtle, I would actually enjoy growing in Chidlow because they do prefer that heavier soil. What they don't particularly like is hot easterly winds. There's
your culprit.
We do get a bit of them.
Yeah.
So should it flower for longer? And should I trim these nuts off?
Oh, definitely. If you want that crepe myrtle to flower better next season, I would trim a third off your crepe myrtle all the way around and remove the seed pods.
Okay. And when should I do that?
Now. Well, I mean, listen to the rest of Roots and Shoots because that'll be that'll make your day. Like that's your entertainment. Right. So when we've finished, then you can go out and prune your crepe myrtle.
Okay, all right, I shall.
Okay.
Good luck. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thanks, Roz. Cut her off, poor thing. Mick in Greenwood says, "What? Sheoak is the messiest tree you can have, and their nasty little seed pods
are
absolute feet killers."
Yeah, well, you know, toughen up.
That's you told, Mick.
Come on, Mick.
Also, I can tell you there's a meeting about how to count black cockatoos at Mount Barker today at 1 p.m. in Sourness Hall.
And cockatoos love casuarina nuts, sheoak nuts.
Plant your sheoaks. Mm. Terry is in Mandurah. Hello, Terry. We have photographs here of a, what is that?
Ah, so there's a philodendron that's had the, it's been burnt to a crisp. And then there's some really pathetic, sick, spindly looking tree thing that looks like if it's not dead, it's about to die.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
Can we make it a bit bigger? This is riveting radio. We are, yeah.
Anyway, so Terry. Terry, can you hear us?
Those dead spindly things are frangipanis.
Oh, no.
Get out there and tell it it's a pathetic excuse for a frangipani.
So, Terry, are these in cans or are they here in cans?
Okay. The kids have just purchased a house.
Aww.
And everything was overgrown with a vine, so they've pulled all the vine off.
Yeah.
And found these poor frangipanis. Can they cut them right down?
Yes. Now, because the vine has been removed, the frangipanis will come back, but they will need to prune them. I'd be taking 50% off.
Okay.
The indoor plant with the big leaf, the philodendron, that needs to be moved because that would have been protected from the vines as well. That needs to be relocated to a shady, cool, moist area.
Okay. And the yard is full of yuccas.
Need to be burnt, dug out, hacked, removed, tortured, everything to make sure that they never ever come back ever again.
I'm interested in this pronunciation of yucca.
Yucca. Well, botanically speaking, it would be a ooh, rather than
that's,
a.
That's really posh, Terry.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know what.
Terry's obviously been to Queensland to Cairns and come back, so she's brought a bit of poshness back with her to the West.
That's right. So just mutilate them.
Yep. So you've got now, good luck trying to dig them out, but you'll have to seriously kill them, like murderously kill them. So you've got to get poison into the cambium layer, which is just underneath the outer bark. And use the old blackberry tree killer and kerosene trick. And then perhaps get a bog witch just to fly over and sprinkle a little something on it so it never recovers.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you for your help. The kids will be happy.
Oh, yes, that's cool.
This is like parents helping their kids with gardening week again, and I love it. We have a studio bog witch. Antoine is in Auburn Grove. Good morning. Good morning, Antoine.
Hello, Antoine. that one.
There's no bog witches here, but there is a very strong easterly wind breeze blowing, so it might be the same thing. I'm not sure.
Whoa. It brings them in.
I have a question about my pomegranate. It's a beautiful big tree, very prolific fruiter.
Yeah.
But this year, all the fruit on the ends have developed a sort of a brown stain, I guess. And then when they sort of split, they're full of a black, sooty mould on the inside.
Mm.
So that's every single one of the trees. I've had quite a few drop early, but we literally haven't had a single one yet that's come out without this black mould on the inside.
Okay, so too late to do anything now, but what you need to do mid-winter is you need to give it a liquid copper spray.
Okay.
It's a fungal problem. So you want to get on top of the fungus before it before spring and before it shoots. So so liquid copper spray probably about July. And then when it starts shooting the leaves in September, October, sometimes pomegranates can be quite late and they won't shoot until October, then I would be giving it a lime sulfur spray before the fruit forms and before the flower forms.
Okay.
Mm. Yep.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Our pleasure.
Thank you, Antoine. You too can speak to Sabrina Hahn on 1300 221025 for Roots and Shoots today. Damo from Dawesville, good question, Damo, says, I want to be a bog witch too. Is it exclusive to young ladies like yourselves, or can men join this coven? Men can join.
I think so.
We're working on a reward scheme behind the scenes, which I can't tell you about now. But
no, it's exciting.
Planning is afoot.
It is afoot. It's two foots.
And we want to hear from men who prune too much too. Yeah. Like, Damo, maybe you qualify as that part, and maybe there could be a Venn diagram between men who prune too much and the bog witch. And perhaps the bog witch could assist the men.
Yes.
Like, you know how they are about to go too far, sir.
You know how the men's shed actually have a day where women can come in and learn how to use tools and stuff. So we could do
our bog witch open
bog day. Witch open day where we invite the chappies along, and we can pass on, you know, all sorts of really sensational information that they would need to be, you know, part of the family clan.
Would we
of
have
bog
some
witches.
Kind of ritual? I think we'd have to have a ritual.
Oh, most definitely. Well, you know, you were talking those young boys that were in Mongolia, and
send them to Mongolia for 6 months.
So we could have our own law, L-O-R-E, the law of bog witches. And I think, you know, we need to make sure it's got a bit of depth to it.
Yes. She's, you're not just going to open that door straight away, Damo. No. But I do enjoy your enthusiasm, and I think that's a really good start to being welcomed into the Coven of Bog Witches. Nola with an E, she texted a little earlier.
Oh, yes.
I was talking about before the top of the hour how buying fabric and actually making things with fabric are two separate hobbies. And Nola texted in, the one who dies with the most fabric wins. I appreciated that.
I hope Jude McKernan is listening to this, my friend, because she's a patchworker. You go up into her room, and I said to Jude, you'll have to live to be 230 years of age to use all this fabric.
Did she bristle? Did she throw you out?
No, she did not. She just completely ignored that comment and changed the subject immediately.
We're a thick-skinned bunch. Nola would also like to know where she said, so pruning the crepe myrtle, one-third off each branch or take off one-third of all branches?
All branches.
There you go.
All branches. You get a better shape.
Okay, there you go, a third off all branches. Mm. Marilyn is in Applecross. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, Amber and Sabrina.
Morning, Marilyn.
Can I grow in a pot a snotty gobble?
Of course you can.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. They actually do very well in a pot, and you've got to give them a little something to gobble on while they're growing. Because
they're to a native nursery.
Yeah, they're a semi-parasitic plant. So, So if you put something else in the pot for them, for the roots of the snotty gobble to hook onto, I actually like Myoporum for my snotties. But if you are going to get one from a native nursery, are you at the King's Park plant sale? That's on today.
Off you go, Marilyn. Get in the car.
Start the car. The queue to get in will probably be about a kilometre long by now. But however, there is a nursery in the southwest. She grows heaps of snotty gobbles. I can't tell you the name of the nursery, but what I can do. Do you know it? Do you know that nursery?
No.
Well, if you stay online, we'll hand you back to beautiful Asha, who'll take your number, and then I can tell you.
Brilliant. And I've got one more question.
Yep.
I've now got a senior's card. Can I get to the front of the queue?
Do you know what's really interesting, Marilyn? When the King's Park plant sales first happened, it was mostly, like years and years ago when the Friends formed it, it was mostly older people. Now it's great to see it's young people who really want to increase the biodiversity in their own gardens. So it's young and old, thrashing it out in line, Marilyn. So you'll be
and
in
I'll
good
tell
company.
You what, Sabrina, Amber, I fractured my pelvis. I fractured my left superior pubic ramus down at Hammy Bay a few months ago, more than a few, and I ended up in Margaret River Hospital and they gave me a Zimmer frame.
Oh, honey.
Oh, use that.
It's still down in storage downstairs.
No, go and get it. Get the Zimmer frame. People will have, they'll just go, let this poor old lady through.
Yes, it'll take you to the front of the queue. Oh, someone says the King's Park sale is tomorrow.
Oh, it's Sunday. It's on Sunday. Sorry. Marilyn, don't go today.
You've got time.
Tomorrow.
Can sleep out at 3 a.m. They do that, don't
they?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
Christine Layton will be in among there. She'll be there.
Well,
I might be at the front of the queue.
That's right, with your Zimmer frame.
If you can't rush to the front of the queue, you can hit people over the head with it.
I've got some elbow crutches too.
Take all your mobility aids.
Oh, God. You'll be fine.
Marilyn, I'm popping you back to Asha. I can't remember why, but
I just need your phone number. That's
all. She needs the phone number. Okay. George says, okay, enough bogwitch crap. Gone. No, not George. William says, gone too far. George, on the other hand, says, I aspire to higher powers for... Example, bog magi. I think he might. Is it magi? Like magic. I think George in the Swan Valley. George, could you please have a look at that and just tell me if you've got some typos? And frankly, do better if you want to be a bog witch. Sarah is in Kalamunda. I didn't mean to sound quite so hysterical, but it is coming
Hello,
up.
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
She sent a picture, I think.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Of your persimmon tree.
Well, yes, and as you can see, there's not an awful lot of it.
I rang
last year when it was a year old.
Yeah.
And I had it surrounded by Warrigal Greens as mulch, and you told me to get rid of that, which I did.
Yep.
And, I'm watering it every day, and the soil's improved, and it did have lupin mulch around it, but that's sort of gone now.
Did you put any gypsum on it?
No, I didn't. Should I do that?
Yeah, see, they're not really keen on heavy soil. Are you on gravel and rock?
Yeah, gravel, rock, laterites. There's a bit of sand here, actually, because it's on the way down to the leach drain trench.
Okay. Speaking of a trench, I would dig a little trench around where the very few outer leaves that are left on it. If you can dig a little trench on the outer rim of where the leaves are, you need to do this pretty soon because we're heading into winter. Well, so they say it'll be 35 next week. And fill that trench with, I would get a mixture of compost and cow poo and put powdered gypsum in with that and put that around, make a little trench. So your trench will need to be about 15 centimetres wide and 15 deep in a circle around it.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. See how that goes.
And then pray.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Good luck with that. Thanks, Sarah.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Beth is in Bonnyfield. Good morning, Beth.
Hi, lady.
Hello, Beth.
I live in near Dongara where it's very sandy.
Yep.
And I've got, I've just bought a Tipuana and a Silver Princess.
Yep.
And I'm just a bit concerned, especially about the Tipuana, about the soil. I have got some good soil down at the Chookyard, but I'd rather not have to plant it down there if I didn't have to.
Yeah. Tipuanas are pretty good coastal plants. They don't really require too much. It's your Silver Princess I'd be worried about, mainly because I love Silver Princess and I'm not so keen on Tipuanas. So I'm biased, really. But I'll give you information for both of them because I'm that kind of person. So with your Tipuana, you will definitely need to get compost and some soil conditioner, slow-release fertiliser and mulch, okay?
What's in soil conditioner?
It's sort of like a young compost. So it's not an aged compost.
I've got some of that.
Yep, okay. So that and some poo of some sort, and then a bit of whack in a bit of clay as well.
Right.
Now.
And how far down does that?
So Tipuanas have big, big spreading root system, and they go all along the surface and they lift up your paving and. So be very careful not to put it where you've got paving or right next to a swimming pool.
Plant it in the garden of someone you don't like. Just some guerrilla gardening.
The root system of Tipuana can be a bit of a problem for people.
There you go. Are you happy with that, Beth?
Yep. But
the got it all written
now,
down.
The Silver Princess, they prefer heavier soil, so... loamy soil, gravelly soil, to have gutless sandy soil, you will definitely need to build that up with clay or loam, and you'll need to go down wide and deep, so you'll need to dig that hole like 70 centimetres deep and 70 wide, and you definitely get some clay in there, some clay or loam and compost. Just a little bit of compost.
Right. I did kill my orange tree that you thought I wouldn't have killed with the cow poo.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
That's life.
There you go.
That's the great thing about gardening is, you know, things come and they go and that's what nature does.
They do. Beth, thank you. Good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
Now, is the nursery that you were mentioning, is it this one here?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
That's the one.
It's now.
Yep. Down in Bridgetown. Yep.
But I'll just let you know, this texture says, Mum, Erica has recently closed her nursery in Bridgetown.
Oh, no.
Not sure if that's who you were thinking of when you were talking about who grows and sells snotty gobbles. She's finally decided to retire properly.
Well, you know what, that's Erica, you deserve to. I'm gutted because she grew really, really interesting plants.
Oh.
Where will we be without her?
Erica, thank you for your service to gardening, I think is what we should all say.
Do you know, we're all getting old, like all of us, nutty. It's true.
You got 10 years on me.
But
and you forgot my birthday.
I know.
It's okay. It's fine. Her face. It's totally fine.
I can't believe
she's
forgot
blushing.
My birthday. Oh, my God. I feel so bad now.
Don't.
I have to buy you a trip overseas.
Oh. No, you have to come with me on a trip overseas.
Yeah. Oh, now that would be fun.
We should take a tour somewhere,
I love trains.
Okay.
Do you like trains?
Yeah. Claysbrook train station just up the road.
I'm thinking more in Scotland, you know, or Wales.
The GAN or something.
Okay. No, I don't want to go on the GAN.
Okay. All right.
I've driven that.
Keno would like to know if his Japanese seedless mandarins are ever going to bloody ripen. Word for word, I read that.
Okay. So you know? Mandarins are a little bit like lime trees in that they do bugger all for the first 5 years, and then they think to themselves, "Oh, I reckon my owner's going to cut me out unless I do something fairly soon." So yes, it will, but it may take quite a few years.
Okay. Maybe take your radio up close to it. And we can tell it to get its act together. Yeah. Just let us know when the radio's in there.
Come on.
Lorraine is in Balga. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. So I'm one of the aged. I turned 80 on International Women's Day.
Ah, Lorraine.
Birthday, Lorraine. So we've got a 60, a 70 and an 80.
Yeah, we're doing everything in multiples of 10, Lorraine.
Tell us what we can expect from 80. What can we expect?
Oh, lots.
Good.
Rickets?
Rickets.
No, I'm in fine form.
Skin cancer?
Oh, not yet.
No. Anyway, Lorraine.
I won't talk about that.
You're sounding pretty perky for 80, and so you've got me excited about getting to that next little.
My poor, I've now forgotten its name. Oh, my God.
Your maiden hair phone?
Maiden hair first.
Yes.
Yeah. See, bog witches can tune into other bog witches, Lorraine.
Yes, indeed. So it wasn't, I was in hospital, didn't get water, and it died, sort of. So I burnt it.
Good
so
girl.
What do I do next?
Okay, now you have to pray that it comes back, because there's a 50-50 chance it won't. And that's the exciting thing about burning maidenhair ferns, is sometimes they come back a treat and other times they just die.
They don't.
So now what I want you to do is get a seaweed solution and half strength.
Yeah.
And first of all, water it with that. And then after that, I want you to mist spray it every day and only water it twice a week with a watering can without anything in it. And mist spray it.
Water in the watering can. But
yeah, no, water in the watering can. We don't want you putting petrol in the watering can, Lorraine. Because, you know, they say that once you're 80, you do stuff like that.
So they keep telling me, but I haven't done anything yet.
So you've got to water it, drench it with a little bit, half solution of seaweed and water, and then you're just going to mist spray it.
Fabulous. Okay.
And let us know how you get on, Lorraine, before you're 90, though, because you may not remember what the plant was.
And we might not be here.
None of my family have reached 80. I'm the first one in a couple of generations. So
you go, girl. You go.
I will.
Happy birthday. Thanks, Lorraine.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
What have you found in the annals of music?
A little bit of Spacey Jane.
Ooh.
I do like Spacey Jane.
Is that local?
I don't know.
Usher?
Is Spacey Jane local, Usher? Usher, listen to it.
She's answering
Spacey Jane. Are they local? Australian band?
Aussie.
Yeah, Aussie band. There you go. They come from somewhere over there and somewhere over here, but they're an Australian band, and this one, this little track is called Through My Teeth.
Nice. Spacey Jane, so many of you love that band and knew exactly where they came from.
Drive with Oliver Peterson.
Next week, cancelled flights, fuel shortages, global turbulence, aviation expert Ellis Taylor live, and Question Time with Daniel Pastorelli and Liam Staltari.
Drive on 102.5 ABC Perth.
This is Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham, wherein your gardening questions are answered. Sometimes we match you up with a friend in Fronds with Benefits, and it's a safe space for men who prune too much. And some of you want to be bog witches even though you're boys. And some of you are sick to death of bog witches. So, you know, it takes all types, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It does indeed. And, you know, everyone's entitled to an opinion.
Yes.
But if you're going to be miserable and nasty, don't bother. Or if you do, we're going to pick on you.
I'm looking at a photo of a Lucas Burnham.
You are looking at it. Now, do we know who it's from?
It is from, no, not, has not said on this.
It's not Nicole, no?
No.
Okay, so.
I'll read the questions.
Yes.
What's going on with my native? It's doing very well with new shoots at the top. Just checking, is the trunk okay? Oh, is there another, supposed to be another photo there? Is the trunk okay? Is this natural? Put this in about 7 years ago. Last year it flowered and seed pods and finally success with getting the black cockatoos ripping right into it. I feel like I'm just looking at a tag that says it's a leucospermum rather than more photos.
So there is a now, leucospermums come from South Africa. They're part of the Proteaceae family, like Banksias are, but they are not a native plant. Now, the cockies, the black cockatoos, may very well eat the nuts. So what happens with leucospermums, leucodendrons and protea, they require pruning. Unless you want the, you'll get a big long trunk and then this gangly growth afterwards. So you've got to start pruning leucospermums, leucodendrons and proteas right from when they're young. So I would be pruning it when it, when the cockies have finished eating the nuts, then give it a prune. I don't know if that's what they were really asking.
I, when you stopped speaking then, I forgot that it was my job to continue speaking. Peter, could you please do some speaking? I feel the less everyone hears from me, the better at this point. What's going on with your figs?
Yeah, good morning, Sabrina and Amber. About 3 weeks ago, I sent you a photo of our fig tree, which is loaded with figs, but they never ripen. It's down at Cardinia.
Okay. Now, there has... Have you had a good crop of edible figs in the past?
No.
Right. Okay. Because there are different types of figs, and the original figs that were brought over needed, they are pollinated by a small fig wasp. And you need the male, you need a male and a female tree, and the male wasp entices the girls in to help pollinate the tree. So if your fig is one of those trees that require cross-pollination with a male and a female, then you won't ever get figs because that fig wasp, I think it's in fairly short supply these days. There's the other thing where fig trees will have what's called a breba crop. So that's a fig that doesn't come to into fruit, but that usually happens. That doesn't happen in summer. That will happen in other during another season. So most of the fruiting figs where you get edible fruit will occur any time between November right through to the end of March.
Right.
So you may never get edible figs off that fig tree, Peter.
Oh, no. Right. This feels like a really bad appointment at the doctor.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes. It's devastating.
I know.
But anyway, it's most probably get another, like a female attach it to it, or is it not worth it?
You could graft it, most definitely. It's very difficult to know the difference between a male and a female fig until it's pollinated. But the fig that you've got, Peter, you could multi-graft it in winter. So if you know someone that's got a delicious edible fig, you go and take cuttings of that in winter and then you graft it on your fig that's not doing too much.
So when do we do that? In winter?
Yep, in winter. Now, there are many, many, it's very difficult to describe grafting, but there are about 60 million YouTube videos of grafting fig trees.
Right.
So I would look at that and then, and grafting, Peter, is heaps of fun. You could have, you know, different varieties of fig all on the one fig tree.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for that. It's okay. Just a shame. It's a lovely tree, and it's just a shame to get rid of it. But
yeah, well, just start grafting it.
Yep.
Yep. We'll give it a try. All right. Well.
Okay. Thanks
for
Peter.
Help.
Thanks, Peter. Bye. Lee is in Walpole. Hello, Lee.
Good morning. How are we going?
Very right. Well, Lee. Now you've got. Good you course. Want to talk about the casuarina, the wind in the casuarina leaves?
Well, yeah, that's right. I was just going to add to your discussion. Many years ago, I was in the bush with a Noongar friend down this way, and he explained to me where you have a grove of casuarinas, that was often a place where the women folk would sit and, you know, maybe food prep or basket weave or just have a good old chat and with the young babies and that on the nice soft casuarina needles and things.
Yeah.
And that sound that you hear in the branches to them is the voices of the women that have passed.
We weren't wrong, were we? That is a beautiful story. I love hearing that, Lee.
Thank you so much.
A very interesting story.
Yeah. And those, you know, those really beautiful, special, sacred places for different groups and different cultures all around the world. And, you know, the thing about the casuarina, it's such a beautiful place to take babies because it is really soft and the, you know, it's quite musical, the sound of the wind coming through the casuarina place. So I can imagine that it would be very much a special, sacred place to Noongar people.
Lee, thank you for sharing that. That's right. So special.
No worries.
Okay.
No problem.
See ya.
Thanks.
What have we got here? Gavin says, do you know when the time is to pick green olives, Kalamata, and when to prune olives?
Well, you prune olives when immediately after they're finished flowering. There's so many different varieties of olives. You would, and of course they, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you pick them, they're not going to taste nice straight off the tree.
No.
They're very bitter.
Was it the Romans that figured out? It must have been, hey? The old Romans had a brine and olive?
I think pre-Roman.
Ooh.
Because the oil was used extensively before they pickled them. And themselves. So I should imagine that you would have, so on an olive tree you will see the formation of the fruit from very small to the largest. So you would need to harvest the larger of the fruit once the smallest of the fruit is developing. Really hard for me to tell you that because you know the... So the actual fruit itself should develop a bit of a gloss on the skin. Now, we must have an enormous community of people that pick and pickle olives out there in Radioland, and they would be far better to tell you when to know to pick an olive, so please ring us.
Yeah, do.
Ring us here and don't forget we're on...
No, 1300 221 0025.
That's it.
I feel like I haven't said that often enough.
Please ring in. What number again?
1300 221 0025.
So we want the olive pickers and picklers to ring us in and let us know when's
the
best time.
How do you know when your olive's ready to pick? Yeah. Your Kalamata's when they're green and Kalamata's when they're black. What's the diff?
Mm.
So much to know. Nicole is in Collie. Nicole, hello.
Nicole. Hello, Nicole. And you sent through some pictures of dying
conifers.
Yes.
You're in Collie. I don't know if Collie has that fungus that our...
Yes, we do, the canker.
The canker, conifer canker.
I've lost quite a few, but they're quite far away from these ones, but they're not looking well, and there's loads and loads of bees. I thought initially there was a hive, but I've been watching and they're just sitting on the split trunks. I think I sent you a photo.
Yeah, you've got that,
like eating the sap or something.
Yeah, it's the sap because there'll be a bit of sugar in there. Look, because the fungal spores are wind-borne, it's very difficult to protect them. If you can get them in the very early stages, you can actually inject them with the phosphorus, the same stuff they use for dieback in Jarrah.
Yep.
So you have to do tree injection with a tree syringe and spray as much of the foliage as you can get. But that really is only effective if the they've only just contracted the fungus. And yeah. Some people have said, look, it's worked for 4 or 5 years and then they die.
Yeah, okay. They all have bees in them, so it's oozing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
I'm so sorry, Nicole.
Good luck.
Thanks for your advice.
Okay, bye.
Hazel, Stoneville, good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning.
What's your question for Sab? Yes.
Well, actually, it's not a question. It's rather a bit of advice for some of your listeners.
Excellent. We like that. Advise away, Hazel.
I have an Irish strawberry tree. Mind you, I'm 90, so maybe I've got some of this wrong, but I'll finish telling you the story.
Yeah.
The tree is 50 years old, and it's about 10 metres high, and occasionally I take the bobcat and the chainsaw to it because it sheds its leaves between November and December. Now, it's already grown its new leaves, so it still looks green. All these old leaves fall off, and they're small, pointy leaves that get into everything. And the volume is incredible.
Right.
It takes me months to get rid of the leaves.
Yeah.
And when the wind blows or the rain comes, it washes them because they're fairly light into all the flower beds and just clogs everything up. Now, last week you advised some poor woman to plant one near a patio, and previously you advised someone to plant one near a pond.
Yes.
Now, that would have drowned everything by the time it shed those leaves. And not only that, but in the winter, it grows its blossom, and the blossom petals fall on the ground and it's like snow. Now, I would advise you not to recommend people plant Irish strawberry trees near a house because it would block up the gutters.
There you go.
Okay. Well, Hazel, I do have to tell you that there's a street near me and they've used the Irish strawberry tree as a verge tree, and there is about 10 of them, and they don't grow to more than, and these trees would probably be 20 years old, and they are still only 4.5 metres high, and they do shed their leaves, but usually all in one go, and the white flower is very, it's only got 4 petals on it, but I do take notice of what you, I don't know how old your Irish strawberry tree is.
It's over 50 years.
Right, okay. So maybe if you intend to keep your Irish strawberry tree for 50 years, you're going to be in for a bit of trouble with leaves and the flowers. Also up in Stoneville, they will grow much taller there because you've actually got a lot more soil than what the coastal strip has. But I've seen them in Spain where they'd be about probably 80, 90 years old, and they don't seem to be a problem there. But, yep, it's a good warning for people, and remember that all trees will drop leaves, otherwise they can't make new leaves.
Yes, of course. So why do we say they're deciduous? Or not, because I would class this as deciduous because it does drop all of its old leaves. But unfortunately, when the old leaves are being dropped, the new leaves have already grown and they're there.
Yeah, yeah, that quite a few trees do that.
Hazel, Well, thank you so much for that contribution from Hazel. We've had a couple of olive people weigh in. You got to shake the tree, and when the olives fall off, they're ready, and we have a brine solution here. This is really interesting. This is great tradition here. Sandy says, brine solutions for pickling olives. Dissolve enough cooking salt in a bucket of water so that a raw egg in shell floats with 50% of its body above waterline. An old Greek neighbour taught me this.
Wow.
That's very cool. I do love that. When do you put moo poo on roses, please?
I'd be doing it right now.
Right now. Mm. Okay, look, who have we got next? Who's coming up next? Tilly is on the line. Hello, Tilly. What would you like to ask Sabrina?
Hi, it's Jilly.
Hi, Jilly.
Hi, both of you. Lovely to hear you on the other end of the phone. My question is actually for my daughter. Mm-hmm. We're digging a lawn, not a cooch lawn, a very fine lawn, mm-hmm. and we want to put in a native garden.
Yes.
Now, it's a small area. It's about 8 by 8. Yeah. It's got walls surrounding it about 10 metres.
Yeah.
Previously, a landscape garden architect recommended those dreadful cotton trees, so we're going to have to dig those up.
Yes, good. Yeah, burn them. Yep.
And we were going to ask you about the Irish strawberry tree, but thanks to Hayley.
There you go. Kept you at the post.
So you want an evergreen tree?
Yes, an evergreen tree, not lots of work, because the young people these days work so hard, they don't need to do lots of work with leaves.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, evergreen trees drop leaves sort of all year round. So
you're talking to a lady who lives in Applecross with 32 trees. So I know.
How absolutely marvellous. Okay, so you've got, there's a beautiful acacia called sterling silver, and the foliage is stunning. Now, people don't put acacias in because they say they're short-lived, but this one, and it's only a small one, but it has a lovely canopy top on it, and it will get to 3.5-4 metres tall. It has beautiful silver leaves and yellow flowers. It is just the most gorgeous little native tree.
Great.
And it's fast. Yeah.
And it's fast.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
And it's a good time to start putting stuff in now.
Is that everything?
No, it's not quite. One more. What do we actually put in the lawn? Once we've dug up the lawn, how do we treat the soil?
Okay. Now, if it's really, really sandy, I would actually incorporate some clay and a small amount of compost. So in sandy soil, the particles are really large, and when you dig clay in, it has to be dug into the soil. It fills up those air gaps in between the sand particles, and it really helps things to survive. And I would also put in some biochar. You can buy bags of biochar. It's really good to get your native plants established.
Great. Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you very much, Jilly. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. How long have we got? We've got a few minutes left. Sarah is in Stirling. Hello, Sarah. What's your question for Sab?
Hello. Hi there. I planted 3 magnolia teddy bears in our backyard last August.
Yep.
They are about 3 metres away from our pool, and they sit firm against a beige colour bond fence.
Yep.
Through the summer, they're in full sun all day, and mm-hmm. so they were doing really well up until the summer heat. And now the majority of the leaves are light brown.
Right.
But we've been watering them frequently, and last week one of the trees had a flower pop up.
Right.
So, but they look like they're dying. And I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on how we can get through this first summer to have them, you know, survive long term.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I have to tell you that magnolias require a lot of water in the early stages of growth, and you've got that up against a fence, so it's going to be reflecting the heat back. Next summer, I would put shade cloth just temporarily along the fence line to try and stop that radiated heat. You will need to actually get a whole pile of compost, wetting agent, in the base of where the trees are, and you will have to put a wetting agent, and you will need to water them really deeply, really well, to get them to go through this next coming summer.
Okay, so do that now.
Yep, do that now. And I would put, before summer, I would put a 10-centimetre thick mulch of either lupin, lucerne or pea hay, 10 centimetres thick.
Okay, perfect. Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay, and let us know how you go, Sarah.
All right, Sarah.
We will.
Excellent. Oops, I've just hung up on Sarah and clicked on to Jill. Hello, Jill. You've got
a couple, hello, you've got Jill.
1 minute and 45 seconds. You've got 15 seconds to ask your question.
Hi. I have these two taxonias and they have flowers on them every year, the pink flowers, but no fruit.
Okay. Now, when you say taxonia, that's actually sort of, that's a genus name. Are you talking about a plant, obviously?
Yes, it's a plant.
So what does it look like? Because...
Well, it climbs along the fence and it has the green leaves and everything. And then it, when it's time for it to have fruit, it has the long flowers come down and they're pink.
Ah, and it's got... And it has long seed pods.
Well, it's, when it has the fruit's supposed to be yellow, and when you take the skin off, they're orange inside.
Hmm. I'm just trying to think what it is because it's not a taxonia.
I think maybe we need a more accurate naming of this one, Jill.
Or a picture.
Or a picture, yes. Send a picture through next week because we have run out of time here on Roots and Shoots for this edition on Saturday the 14th of March. So Sabrina and I will be back again next week. We've loved your company. We always do.
We do. Come and keep us company next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.